Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're starting a new series today, and it's called Foundations. When we begin talking about our faith and the things that we build our life upon because of our faith, I kind of skipped a pertinent announcement. Our kids are heading to Kids Rock now, so if that is you, you can head out these back doors and head out with our Kids Rock folks. And our children will be getting in the Word together back there in Kids Rock. So our new series is Foundation. The question is, what are we building our life upon? What should we stake our life upon? What truth or pieces of truth should we stake our life upon? And if we ask that question, we have to ask the question, how do we know? If we have the answer to that, those questions of what we stake our life upon, how do we know that to be true? And so, beginning today and over the next handful of Sundays, we'll be answering those questions. Today we're going to start off answering both of those questions and pointing to the rest of the answers as we get through the next weeks. The question of what do we stake our life upon and how do we know? Well, we stake our life upon the truth of what God has told us. And how do we know what God has told us? We know what He has told us because He's given us His Word. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to be looking in His Word to see that. Why is this Bible His Word? Why is this Bible His message to us? And what does that mean for us? So, one piece of truth today, and then six practical implications of that truth. Some of you are like, oh, Andrew, you only do two or three, and we're here for a long time. My wife already made that comment this morning, lovingly, of course. But we're going to move fast this morning, so just buckle up. On the screen here, we have several scriptures we're going to go to. If you want to just jot those down and look at them later, you can. They'll all be up here on the screen except for the first one. I want to encourage you to open up your copy of God's Word to Psalm 119. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, grab one of those blue Bibles in the pews in front of you or around you and take it home with you. That's what they're there for. So, are you ready? All right, bow your hearts with me. And let's ask the Lord to lead us through His Word this morning. Father, thank You for the freedom to gather together as Your people, to sing Your praises together, and to open Your Word together. God, we pray that You would do a work in our hearts this morning. We pray, as we already have this morning, that You would make us more like You as a result of opening Your Word, guided by Your Spirit. And Lord, we also pray that if there's anyone that's here that has yet to surrender their life to You, that You would do that work in their hearts this morning. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. First piece of truth this morning, the only piece of truth this morning that we will say anyway, is this: the Bible is God's Word. So, read this passage with me, Psalm 119. I'm going to encourage you to read through this whole chapter, but we won't this morning. Psalm 119, verses 105 down through verse 112. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, to keep Your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to Your Word. Accept my freewill offerings, of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Amen. So what we see here is a glimpse of just a small passage in God's Word that reflects something that we see throughout the Bible. And that is this, that Scripture, starting with Genesis, going through Revelation, is referred to in several ways. Chief among those ways is God's Word. You see this in this passage. The psalmist writing about God's law, which for him would have been the first part of our Bible today. And he calls it several things. Verse 105, he calls it your word. 106, your righteous rules. 107, your word. 108, your rules. 109, your law. 110, your precepts. 111, your testimonies. 112, your statutes. The idea that, and the reason, the very reason the psalmist was saying these things about God's laws and His Word and His precepts and testimonies and statutes is this, is because they come from God Himself. They are His words. And because they are God's words, they are the supreme authority over our lives. You with me? So if God is God, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the supreme authority. So if He says something, that something is representative of His authority over our lives. Yeah? Yeah, it's just like logic 101, right? So if God says something and He is God, then it trumps everything else, which is what we see reflected in His Word. Now, knowledge in our world and reason in our world, experience in our world, emotions and feelings in our world are all good things from Him. But none of those things are above or equal to God's Word. All of those things are filtered through God's Word. You with me? Okay. Now, we're going to keep moving because I want us to see some other things about what the Bible says about itself. Mainly, in another way to put that, what God says about His Word in His Word. Okay? So, Matthew 11:13. Jesus... And this isn't the only place that he refers to the Old Testament. He refers to the Old Testament. He says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." What we see in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, and in the teaching of Jesus, is in several points, Jesus refers back to the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, as authoritative. People ask Him questions, and He often refers them back to the Old Testament as the Word of God, or as what has authority, or as what He's basing His teaching upon. So one of the things I want us to see this morning is that Jesus Himself in the New Testament sees the Old Testament as God's Word. You with me? All right. Later on in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus in His teaching and to the disciples, one of the last things He taught them, He tells them this. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." Now, this can be applied in a handful of different ways, but one of the most clear things that Jesus is saying with verses 12 and 13 is He is pointing to the fact that through these men that are sitting before him, the apostles, the men who were one-on-one taught by him, through those men, God was going to continue to speak. So they had the scriptures and the prophets, the Old Testament. We have yet to come, when Jesus was speaking the word, the New Testament. But he's telling the apostles that the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to speak to them truth that has yet to be told to them, and they will write these things down. So Jesus, in his teaching, points the apostles and us, the church, to the New Testament. There are things that will be written down that have yet to be written down at that point in time. You see that? You with me so far? The Holy Spirit would come and inspire those men to finish God's Word. Then we get to Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, the very end of the Bible. Revelation was written about 30 years after all the other books of the Bible were finished. Written by the Apostle John, and of course inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as he closes this letter to the churches, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this: "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book." So the Holy Spirit inspired John to close the New Testament. Nothing will be taken away, should be taken away from the Word of God. Nothing should be added to the Word of God. And so we have right here in the Word of God, in the Bible, it pointing to itself. Which is good news for us, because that means that in the Bible, we're pointing to the fact that Genesis to Revelation is the very Word of God. So this should be comforting to us as a church, as individual Christians, in a world that is filled with questions and an uncertainty, in a world that is filled with and is filling with the idea that everyone can live by their own truth, it makes you unsure where to set your feet upon. What we find is God has spoken to us in His Word. He has made it clear what His Word is. So if we are trying to answer the question, what should we build our life upon? One. And two, how do we know how to answer that question for us? The answer to both of those questions is, what should we build our life upon? The things found in this book. And how do we know? Because this book is the very words of God spoken to us and for us so that we can answer those questions. So it's good news for us. So I want to speak to you for a second. If you're here and you're unsure about who Jesus is or about how to respond to Him, or you've been adamant in your life about not responding to Him, I just want to challenge you to open the Bible and read it. And let the Bible proclaim to you what it claims to be true, what specifically God claims to be true, and go from there. Because what you'll find is, I think, very satisfying. So if that's you today, I want to encourage you to examine the truth found in these pages. There is nothing more satisfying. All of the news of what God has done on our behalf, His commands, His encouragement to us, His grace and mercy for us, His faithfulness, in spite of our lack of faithfulness, all contained right here. Genesis to Revelation. What a gift. Now, that in itself we could spend a lot of time on, but I want to spend the next few minutes we have together thinking through what this means for us. Not all of what it means for us, but some of the things it means for us today. And so I want to walk through six practical implications of what it means that this is God's Word to us and for us today. Okay? So you ready to do that? They're going to be on the screen. I'm going to reference some scripture as we go through some of them. If you're a note taker, you can just write the scriptures down and hang on to them later because we're going to move quickly. All right, so we've already said the first one. The Bible is our supreme authority. So because the Bible is the very Word of God, and because God is Himself authoritative over all that has been created, then His Word has supreme authority. So practically what that means for us is that we've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. No one is equal to Him. No one is above Him. Nothing is equal to Him in its authority. Not the church, not a government. Nothing is equal to Him in His authority or above Him in His authority. Him and His Word trumps all of those things. Now, all of those things are good for us. The church is good for us, but the church doesn't dictate what God has said. The Bible dictates what God has said because it is what He has said. Does that make sense? So if you walk in here one day and you find me saying, God's Word says, but I have something new that contradicts that, please make me leave and don't let me get up here again. Okay? If you walk into a church that's doing that, they have it backwards. They have set the church above God's Word, and it's the other way around. The church is good. Preachers are good. Teachers of the Word are good. But they're under the authority of God's Word. You see that? So, one other thing I want you to think about is there is no government above that, no government equal to that. There is no social movement or revelation equal to God's Word or above God's Word. So, one of the things we're seeing in our world today is that social revolutions have at different times, but most especially today in our country and other countries around the world, are swiftly moving through the culture and even through churches, where it's making churches take a second look at God's Word and say, okay, well, that portion must not be correct. So we're going to live by this new idea rather than God's Word. And again, they're putting themselves above God's Word, which is incorrect. Okay, you see that? So the Bible is our supreme authority. There is great comfort in that. In other words, we don't have to fall prey to the latest fad or trend. We can set our feet upon His Word and leave them there. The Bible brings us the gospel. So all over Scripture, the Bible points us to it, but two places, 1 Peter 1:23, Peter says this to the churches he's writing to. He says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. So we can read this verse and we can ask the question, how are we born again? How is a person supposed to be saved or born again? And the answer is, by the living and abiding Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the question is this, how am I as an individual supposed to learn about Jesus' perfect life on my behalf, His sacrificial death on the cross in my place, and His victorious resurrection over sin and death so that I might believe and repent of my sins and have everlasting life? How am I supposed to know that? And the answer is His Word, right? It says, the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So parents, grandparents, anyone in here that has children that they love in their life, if you want them to know the Lord, you want them to follow Jesus, begin exposing them to the Word of God. Allow them to hear His voice from the Bible. And it goes for our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. Evangelism strategy is getting the Word of God to people. It's putting the truth of the Word of God in front of them. So that is two, the Bible brings us the gospel, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Three, the Bible is used by God to make us holy. So for those of us who have repented of our sins, believed in Jesus, we have been saved, but God isn't done with us. Praise the Lord. He wants to make us more and more and more like Himself. And we say, well, how does He do that? And He does that with His Word. Jesus prays this prayer for us in John 17:17. It says, sanctify them in the truth. And that word sanctify simply means make them holy. Make them like You, Father. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is the truth. So how does Jesus make us holy and make us a Christian more mature in Him? With the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So Scripture is good for teaching us and eventually making us complete in Christ Jesus, making us completely like Him. Of all the things that God could have used to make us more like Him, what He's chosen to use in our lives to make us like Him is His Word. Do you see that? Now, I want you to be encouraged at this point, because some of you may feel hopeless in your walk with the Lord, in the sense that you feel stagnant, like you're not growing, or you have recently felt the need to grow in your relationship with Him. I just want to encourage you. There's not a magic formula to that. Jesus points us to His Word. You want to be more like Him? Get in His Word. You don't want to be so easily tempted? You pray that you might desire God actually more than the things of this world. You want to be more patient, more kind, more gentle with your family. You want to see your children grow into maturity in their faith. The Word. God uses His Word to make us holy. Now, I want to say something before we move on to the next three points quickly. This is why we try to fill our services here at Eastside with the Word, from the front to the back. We fill it with Scripture. We fill our services with songs that are based on the truth of the Word. And then we preach sermons that are filled with Scripture. That is why. Because we believe that God does these things through His Word. We want people to come to know Him, so we preach the Word. We want people that know Him to become more like Him, so we preach the Word. The Bible protects us from sin and legalism. My dog has an invisible fence. His name is Jack. When he first got the invisible fence, he discovered the invisible fence, and then he stayed really clear of the invisible fence, very close to our house. But as he got used to it, he discovered he had freedom to go anywhere in our yard that he wanted to. I'm very thankful for that invisible fence, because it protects Jack from everything that could happen to him outside of our yard. But it also gives Jack freedom in our yard to wander around and chase the squirrels and anything else that he wants to in our yard. See, that That invisible fence is a boundary. It protects him, but it also gives him freedom. And God's word does the same thing for us. It protects us from sin and its consequences, but it gives us freedom from legalism. When we begin to add things to God's word to keep people from walking into sin, we shouldn't do that. If the better we know the word, the more freedom we will have in Christ. Do you see that? The Bible is a way of is God's way of actively speaking to us. This is very simple. There's this idea of people going, I feel like God is not speaking to me. I feel like He is silent. I feel like He is far away from me. And while I know those feelings are very real, I just want to encourage you. He's not far away from you, and He is not silent. Open His Word. The Bible is God's way of actively speaking to us. And finally, the Bible is an anchor for our soul. I want you to recognize something. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, the very beginning of God's word, we are introduced to Satan for the first time. And the first words that come out of his mouth are, "Did God actually say?" And so I want us to recognize this morning, that the enemy's first mode of attack is to make us doubt God's word. To get us to drift from God's word, because he knows if we drift from the message of God, we will drift from the God of the message. He will use reason to do that. I cannot wrap my head around someone actually raising from the dead. He will reuse popular opinion to do that. Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Or sexual sin is not really that serious. He will use our emotions to get us to drift from God. I feel like God is far from me, or I feel like God does not love me. And what we find is when we open God's word, all those things are very clearly contradicted. And God's word trumps all those things. Praise God, we are not subject to the waves of our emotions. If you feel like God's far from you, I have good news for you this morning. We stand on the Bible this morning that tells us God is not far from us this morning. If you feel like God does not love you, I have good news for you this morning. We stand on the Bible, which tells us very clearly that God does love us. He sent His Son to die for us in our place and raise from the dead on our behalf. You're not subject to the waves of your emotion if you're grounded in the Word of God. You may be here and you may simply need to believe the gospel. Place your faith in Jesus for the first time this morning. You can do that as we sing. Or you can wait till after we're done with the service completely and find someone that knows Jesus and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus today. And we'll point you to the Word of God to know how to do that. You may be here and you may need to start this new school year fresh. You've been tossed by the waves of your emotions this year. You've been tossed by the waves of reason and anything else this year. And you may just simply need to say, God, I need to start this new year in August with my feet firmly planted on your word. Maybe you just need to simply stand and praise Him for speaking to us. And revealing Himself to us. However the Spirit's leading you today, we're going to close with a song. I'm going to invite you to stand, pray with me, and then respond however the Spirit's leading you to respond today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have shown us you. In your word, your holiness, your righteousness. We thank you that you have shown us our need for you, and we thank you that you have shown us how you've met that need for you in your word, your Son Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. God, we thank you for the good news of salvation that we find in your word. We thank you that you do not change, so your word does not change. We thank you that in the shifting sands of this world, we can plant our feet firmly on your message to us. Thank you. Thank you that you have protected it throughout the years so that it can come to us. Thank you for the responsibility of taking it to others. Help us to trust you in your word. Help us to take it to others so that I might trust you also. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.